This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
How many times have you clicked on what looked like an incredible online bargain only to discover the deal wasn't quite what it seemed? Well, maybe the advertised price only applied to a different colour. Maybe it was for a tiny accessory that was hidden among the real products. Or maybe the bargain just completely vanished the moment you clicked through. Well, most of us like to think we're pretty careful shoppers. But what if some online sales tactics are specifically designed to take advantage of how our brains process information? Well, Associate Professor Adrian Camilleri is from the UTS and joins us this afternoon. Adrian, good to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get into the psychology of it all, how common is this experience of clicking on a bargain only to find the price isn't actually for the product you thought it was?
Well, it's pretty common. I heard your example there with the tools, and I've had an example myself with jackets, which kind of inspired some of this story. So, and what sellers are doing, they're exploiting something called multivariation listing. And it was originally for honest reasons. So you could choose, let's say, the color of a shirt all on the same page. But dodgy sellers, they're now using it to pair a photo of a high value item, like in my case, a $100 jacket. But the price of a cheap accessory, like a $20 waterproof bag. So the listing will say, you know, from $20 to $100. And so when you see the search result, you see the photo, it's a nice jacket. See the price, it's a nice price. It's only after you click through and spend time selecting the size that you realize that, the $100 is for the expensive jacket and the $20 is for the waterproof bag.
Adrian, when I was doing this tool shopping today, I mean, on this website, there must have been 50 photographs and they were all exactly the same. And it was really hard to tell. And then I think you can order, it said pick a color, and you go to pick a color, and that's when you might have two of them instead of, it's not a color, it's just, they say it's a color, but it might be a pack of two, or it might be one that comes with a certain blade, or it might be, you know, some other variation to it, but all under the heading of color. I mean, isn't that misleading?
Yeah, I think I've had a similar experience shopping on Temu. It's probably where you sold it. And yeah, I think we're definitely operating here in a gray zone. It's highly questionable. And at least under string consumer law, you know, businesses, they're prohibited from engaging in misleading or deceptive conduct. And there's also something called bait advertising, which this might fall under. Generally, we call these things dark patterns. So these are tricks that are designed to manipulate consumers online. And looks like we've both fallen into another one. But if you go onto, you know, productreview.com or ozbargain.com, you see many, many threads of people complaining about the same thing.
Let's go to your jacket example. That image obviously grabbed your attention first, and the price seemed to confirm that it's, you know, a good bargain to get. What's happening in the brain during those first few seconds when we, you know, identify what it is we want to buy and we think it's a good one?
Right. Yeah, well, what we're falling for is something called, it's a cognitive bias, and we call it the visual superiority effect. And basically, our brains are wired in such a way that they process images much faster, much more powerfully than they process text. So when you're seeing this massive, high quality, nice picture of a jacket there next to a prominent, in my case, $20, you know, your brain is making that instant connection, and it's kind of glossing over the text at the bottom, which is saying, you know, from $20 to $100. And as we're scrolling quickly through our Amazon or eBay or Temu, wherever it is, we're relying on these mental shortcuts, and the visual of the image on the listing, it really overpowers the fine print. And so it really anchors our expectations, and we don't stop to critically evaluate the text because the picture's already told our brain a different story.
Adrian, one of the things that fascinated me is that many of us think we'd never fall for these tricks. We're too smart. Are we giving ourselves a little too much credit, do you think?
Yeah, people usually underestimate their susceptibility to cognitive biases. You know, one little trick to get around that is to ask, well, what would you recommend a friend do? And, you know, people don't think their friends are as good of them as resisting biases. So usually then people are a lot more rational when they're recommending to a friend.
What happens? Have you ever noticed that, you know, we can spend, say, 10 minutes or more reading reviews, analyzing what is the best product we should go for, but then we decide whether we like something almost instantly. Why do we do that?
Yeah, I guess many of us are engaging in a sort of post hoc rationalization, right? We've made the decision basically instantly, and now we're just trying to justify it by finding just the right set of online reviews that will get us over that threshold of like, yes, I really should buy this.
Now, tell us about dark patterns. What are they? They seem to be getting a lot of attention lately, and how do they play into this?
Yeah, so dark patterns are different tactics that online sellers use that are basically tricking consumers into either disclosing more information than they need to or make purchases that they weren't intending to. And ACCC is definitely making these dark patterns a major enforcement priority right now. And the government is actually considering right now new legislation that's specifically designed to outlaw these unfair trading practices. So I think the net is kind of closing around these kinds of tricks.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Adrian Camilleri from the University of Technology in Sydney about the online sales tricks that get us clicking on bargains that aren't always what they seem. Adrian, what are some of the sneakiest examples that many of us have probably come across without even noticing? What do you reckon's the sneakiest?
Oh, so many of them. So when there's a limited number available in stock, when there's a countdown timer, when there are, you know, five people browsing this page right now, you know, they're all trying to get you to make it an instant decision. But most of the times, you know, they are using dark patterns to present this kind of information to increase the urgency and reduce the rational decision making.
And one of the things that I've fallen for is, you know, it might say 1,000 units sold. And I think, oh, well, they must be all right if they've sold that many. Are they just random statistics that they pop up?
I think in most cases, they wouldn't outright lie like that. Mm. So, you know, if you're selling a product for long enough, then probably you can get to 1,000 pretty well. What I like to do actually is look at the ratio of online reviews to number of sales. Okay, so if you've got 1,000 sales but only 3 reviews, what is that telling you? It's probably a bad signal.
I'm going to do that from now on. Now, if we see a bargain online and our first reaction is, you know what, that's too good to be true, is that one of the best warning signs that we should pay attention to, do you reckon? Adrian. Oh, no. Have we lost you? Oh, it looks like we've lost him. All right, we'll try and get him back.
You're tuned in to Joy Drive on Joy 94.9.
Got Associate Professor Adrian Camilleri back from the University of Technology. Don't worry, if you're a Kylie fan, I'll play that song again. Adrian, we have got you, haven't we?
Yes.
Oh, I'm good. A Kylie fan. Excellent. Okay. Now, at what point does this clever marketing cross the line into something that is unlawful? And particularly given that a lot of these websites and the one you mentioned are overseas.
Yeah. So, look, I'm not a legal expert, but we did have an expert on the team when we wrote this article, so I can, I guess, convey her opinion. Definitely doesn't seem to pass the pub test, right? It does seem to be misleading and deceptive. And so I think right now it is in a gray zone, but I think the laws will be changing in the near future that would firmly push this into misleading. And for that reason, I think, you know, if consumers run into this and they are feeling like, you know, they want to do something about it, then take screenshots, report the listing to the ACCC, because, you know, the watchdog is actively hunting for examples of these kinds of dark patterns right now. And so, you know, consumers making these reports, give them the ammunition they need in order to force these platforms to basically clean up their act.
Adrian, the most important question of all, what's the smartest way to slow ourselves down and avoid getting caught by these tactics when we're shopping online? Because I always get caught by the pictures, I've got to admit.
Look, a couple of strategies you might use. One just requires you to be a little bit patient. So put what you want to buy into the cart, but do not press buy yet. Just let it sit there for 24 hours. And, you know, if you still really think you need it 24 hours later, maybe you can press on the buy button. I like to leave things in my cart until the number gets up to, you know, a significant number, a couple of $100s. So that might take me weeks. And then usually by that time, I forget why I wanted to buy that in the first place. And if that is still not working for you, then it's time to bring in a friend and see if you can just make the case of why you actually need to buy that tool.
Do you open multiple sites at the same time and search for the same product? Because I find myself doing that.
Yeah, look, if it's an expensive product, I would definitely do the research across different platforms just to make sure that you're going to find a good deal eventually.
Adrian, good to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Associate Professor Adrian Camilleri from the University of Technology in Sydney.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.